Hi, welcome to our latest episode of Remarks and Reflections, a podcast offering insights into topics that are important to the Hillbrook community and the broader worlds of education and parenting. I'm your host, Head of School Mark Silver, and I invite you to join us for what we hope are lively conversations about a whole range of ideas and issues that connect with our vision to inspire children to achieve their dreams and reach beyond themselves to make a difference in the world. Today, I am joined by our recently hired Director of Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion, Gulliver Lavage. Gully is our first ever full-time director of DEI. The decision to create his position emerged after a number of years of discussion about how we can best meet the goal of being an intentionally diverse community that sees DEI as core subject matter. The creation of a senior leadership position signals our belief that students learn best in an inclusive environment where every child has a voice. So, Gully, let's start by talking a bit about your first few months at the school. Since your arrival, what have been your impressions of Hillbrook?
Yeah, well, good morning. Great to be here. There's been a lot of impressions. I would have to say that, I came at an interesting time when I started in mid-July. It was a good time to get to know the campus, but of course, without kids here and without a lot of the adults, of course, we did have the office staff. It was a great opportunity to get to know them and obviously start to get to know Hillbrook from the standpoint of reading through a bunch of documents, looking at surveys. But it was an interesting way to start to have that perspective, and then suddenly, meet the rest of the employees through our retreat, through our all employee retreat, which I thought was amazing. And even before that, for our leadership team to come together and have our own retreat was also great. I thought right away I felt a lot of community building moments and opportunities abounded from the moment I was here with the staff who were on campus in the summer to the senior leadership retreat to the entire employee retreat. Lots of moments to connect and get to know people. And of course, during that time, I was also, inviting people to come and see me and come spend time. And I was, amazed by how many employees were receptive to that and around in the summer and wanted to come in and chat. And so the next thing I learned was the amount of knowledge that the employees had, not only around the intentional community of Hillbrook, but also the core values, the mission, and really good ideas around DEI. And I was impressed by the knowledge of DEI from the employees. And then as I got to know the parents and students, as we started school, that was, the same sort of experience, very welcoming parents, many taking me up on my offer to come in and meet with me and talk about DEI. Getting to know students right away, it's overwhelming. 400 students, you don't know any of their names. Maybe a handful I remembered from being interviewed in the spring. But, to have them already be able to say, "Hey, Mr. Lavage, how are you? How's it going today?" And walk into classes and be welcomed and be a special guest in the second grade classroom and, be parts of different Reach Beyond blocks, whether it's in the middle school or in the lower school, have given me, again, great opportunities to get to know the teachers in the classrooms and all the students.
That's great. So it's like, so now it's early November and you've kind of gotten a chance to settle in. And I know that, we've talked a lot about, and you have good instincts around wanting to listen and learn and kind of spend some time this year getting to know the community before you do too much. And I also know that there have been some what we might call, early opportunities, quick to seize and work with other employees and parents and people who are interested in kind of doing a few new things this year. Can you tell us a little bit about some of those new things?
Absolutely. And that was one of the surprises coming in, was there was already some readiness to get going on some things right away from employees to parents, and some of the first things that were just kind of primed and ready were starting some employee affinity groups. And so right away, within the first month and a half, we, there had already been a sort of a groundswell and some organization from employees over the summer to get some things started. And so we created a really, really good rubric and communication norms, going off of Hillbrook values and communication norms from here to sort of establish two pretty solid affinity groups that came right out of the beginning of the school year.
So I know you and I know what affinity groups are, but I'm guessing some of the people listening may or may not. Can you just, you know, quickly describe what an affinity group is, and then how you've talked a little bit about how it actually came about?
Absolutely. Yeah, so affinity groups are really important because it's a safe space where people who are typically not in the majority, who typically experience, you know, things, whether it be from a, you know, affinity groups can range from, you know, racial, ethnic affinity groups to socioeconomic to gender. And so it's a space to come together with people of common backgrounds, you know, who have similar experiences as sort of, you know, the minority groups within, you know, the typical majority aspect of society, and are able to, you know, in that space, sort of, I hate to use the word vent, but in some ways it's, they get to sort of speak their truth, speak their mind in a way maybe they don't always feel that they can, and in everyday life. And then it's really to feel like they're in a space with people who where they feel like they're in the majority for those moments. They feel like they have some things they can discuss and talk about that maybe they feel reluctant or reticent to discuss in other situations. And then they can kind of bounce things off of each other in terms of how those, you know, in that space to allow them to process it. But then also think of like, what are some ways we can bring this into the forefront of the majority culture and enact some change or perspective or understanding. So it's a real way of cultivating cultural competence at the basic level of understanding your identity, yourself, and bringing that forth in order for others to understand and really see the things that you know minority groups face on a daily basis that are not intentional, or, you know, that sometimes are very unconscious, that are very nuanced and hard to see. So this space is an amazing place for groups to have that opportunity to tackle those and sort of process.
Yeah, thanks for that more detailed explanation and definition. And I know, as you said, I mean, that was definitely it's something that people had been talking about for the last few years. And certainly upon your arrival, I think you've done an excellent job of working with groups to kind of form those and make them both create the structure for them and then really create that space on campus for them. Another thing I know you've done a little bit of, and we've just kind of started in relatively early days, but you know mapped out along with some employees a year-long kind of professional development program for all employees, not just for specific groups, but for every single member of our staff and our admin and our faculty. Can you talk a little bit more about that?
Yeah, that's been another amazing, again, a sign of readiness here at Hillbrook that we were able to dive in and have sort of 3 hours of PD time a month to look at specifically protocol groups. And so protocol groups are sort of professional learning groups. It takes a model of you take sort of a theme or idea, and you're able to, you know, get groups of people together with facilitators to really dive deep into subjects. And so typically in education, we see this happen a lot around like alternative assessments, you know, looking at ways to scaffold instruction. And so groups of teachers will get together for professional development to look at those. So we're actually able to have that, you know, dedicate quite a bit of time every month to DEI, so diversity, equity, and inclusion, and matching it with the protocol groups. So that we are, what we're saying is we're sending a very strong message about being very intentionally focused on diversity, equity, and inclusion. And employees are able to unpack all the issues and really dive into cultural competency and start from identity, and then, you know, look at specifics around, you know, race and ethnicity, gender, socioeconomic class, and tie that into to a point where they're, you know, incorporating their own identity and things they bring to the table with other identities that exist in our community, not only at Hillbrook, but in the world. and then able to sort of tie those into to the way they bring, you know, instruction, curriculum, perspectives, social emotional relationships with students and other employees to the workplace.
Well, and so you mentioned, and you know, I mentioned in my opening, and obviously your title is Director of Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion. And so we use those words a lot. And again, they're three distinct things. So can you briefly define what they mean to you, but also, of course, I think, you know, as a school, we've talked a little bit about like what those different distinct concepts mean and why we've kind of pulled them out when we've talked about hiring a Director of Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion.
So I think, you know, when we think of diversity, from my perspective, we're thinking of, you know, differences, you know, in all identities and all ways of being. And that aspect can get captured in and the way that looks at a place like Hillbrooken School. Like, do we have, you know, in terms of numbers, are we matching the way our community in general looks? You know, are we representing racially, ethnically, you know, religiously? Socioeconomically, are we intentionally trying to create enough differences to bring in that diversity and do so with, you know, the right sort of numbers? And when I say right sort of numbers, I just mean that we're conscious of it. We're looking at it. We're defining that we're intentionally looking at subsets and making sure they're represented here at Hillbrook.
Yeah, I know. I mean, certainly as a school, we've talked a lot the last few years about representing or reflecting the diversity of Silicon Valley. And people have often asked me, does that mean that you have an exact number that you're shooting for? And of course not, you know, but we are, you know, Silicon Valley is an incredibly diverse area. And I think to your point, we're trying to have a diversity that fully reflects that and that takes advantage of all of the communities that are here. So that's diversity. What about equity?
So equity, it's looking at, you know, ensuring that we have the structures and the systems in place so that everyone's able to participate in our community in the same way. And I think the best way to think about this is that, you know, there's an image, you know, I know I've talked about it before. There's an image that we use a lot as diversity directors in the DEI world of, you know, you have three people, all of them trying to look over a 6-foot fence. You have the 6-foot 5 person, the 5-foot 11 person, and the 5-foot 6 person. And obviously one's able to clearly see. The other might need to stand on their tippy toes a little bit to see and exert a little bit more effort. And then the third one maybe has to jump pretty high in order to see over that fence. So the idea is, practically speaking, what do we need to do for each person to be able to have the exact same view over that fence?
Yeah, if I remember the image, right, there's three boxes.
Three boxes,
right? So in the original image, each person gets a box,
right?
Which is equal.
Yes.
And so now the 6-foot 5 person is 7 feet. The 5-foot 11 person is 6'5". And the 5'6 person still can't see.
Right. And as they're all able to peer over and see some systems, some things were put into place that all three can experience things equally. And I think we can think in ways of assessments and individualizing instruction and ways that we, you know, sort of try to understand the background of where kids come from, where we can think of, yes, things might seem fair in terms of what I've given or in terms of the opportunity, but is it equitable? Does everybody have the same opportunity? Do they have the support structures? Do they have what they need from us to be able to experience it the same way?
Yeah, I mean, and I always have liked that image too. You know, again, you know, seen it for a number of years, and it strikes me, you know, it's that notion, right, that the shortest person needs two boxes, the tallest person doesn't need any box, and then what are the equivalent of boxes here in our school? And I think, right, we talk about, you know, there's the flexible tuition program, which certainly allows access for some people, you know, to various parts of our program. As you noted, there's things around, you know, learning, and with the programs that we individualize, always trying to ensure that every student is a unique learner, right? And how do we meet them where they are and not necessarily just provide the same experience for every child?
Absolutely.
And then what about inclusion?
Yeah, that's like the namesake of I think where DEI really started at Hillbrook, right? As with the inclusivity statement. And of course it's been revised, and you know, it's the feeling that everyone will be full members of this community. We will be intentionally inclusive. We will ensure that we are thinking through a lens of when we're making decisions, when we're talking, when we're thinking about the students, when we're thinking about the employees, are we ensuring that there's inclusivity? And I think that's one of the things that I've noticed that's like very clear at Hillbrook from, you know, in my first several months here, is that there's always this sort of thought as we're going through and making decisions and thinking, are we really being inclusive? Are we truly allowing for not only space and place, but are we allowing for feeling, which I think is key. And this is probably one of the first places where I think that's been clearly in the DNA of the employees who've been here a while and who've already sort of, you know, practiced that for several years. So I feel like it really is intentionally inclusive, because when we read that statement, we embody as a community.
So just one last question, focusing back on the topic of diversity. As a school, we've made significant strides in the last 5-10 years in terms of our overall diversity. And, 10 years ago, we were probably less than 20%. Now we're more than 40% students of color, you know, significant increases in our flexible tuition, the number of students who are part of our flexible tuition program. One area where we've made some strides, but where we clearly remain low compared to the population of Silicon Valley, is in Latinx students and families. I know you're Argentinian. This is something that is, something you connect with personally. And also I know professionally you've done a lot of work in the space of connecting with not just Latinx families, but I know that you've done a lot of work in terms of connecting with Latinx families. You know, do you have any thoughts about what that might look like here at Hillbrook in the next few years as we look to make a particular strides in that area?
I think we have an incredible opportunity where we are. We're positioned really nicely with the Latinx community that's close to us, that who are involved with organizations that they work with throughout the year, and especially intensively in the summer. So we have many students, you know, within a 20 to 30 minute radius of us, who work with programs like Breakthrough, Silicon Valley, Peninsula Bridge, ABC, A Better Chance. In these arenas, it's helping first generation Latinx families have access and opportunity to independent schools. I mean, not just independent schools, public schools as well. But the idea is, you know, having partnerships with organizations that will help us provide an avenue and set up the appropriate support structures for students from, you know, first generation families who probably have, you know, parents who are working two different jobs where English is not their first language, and managing sort of the power structure of independent school world and the processes that comes along with applications and understanding transportation is really needed. And I think we are committed to like providing a structural support to make sure that as we sort of increase and look at first generation Latinx families and offering an avenue to Hillbrook, that we've established solid partnerships with those organizations and we can represent those numbers that exist in the Bay Area today. So I think, you know, you've pointed it out. That's a huge growth edge, is we think we do have several Latinx families here already. It's just looking at the population of first gen that we can, sort of continue to expand.
Great. Thanks, Gully. I really am grateful for you taking some time with me this morning, and particularly for helping to share out with our broader community some of the work we're doing in DEI. I think it's worth noting, and we wrote in our statement of inclusivity that you mentioned that we are an intentionally diverse community, and that we do that because we know that the best schools, that the best academic programs are diverse. And so we are so grateful that you've joined our team and as a senior leader and are really helping us push this work in ways that we just haven't been able to prior to your arrival, in part because we didn't have somebody with your expertise and with the ability to kind of push us along. So thanks for joining us this morning. And I also want to let people know that there's a video of a recent parent event that you were interviewed at by the HSPC president and president-elect for next year. And so that's also available through the Hillbrook website, and another chance to kind of see you in that case, not just hear you, and learn a little bit more about your background and the experiences that you're bringing to Hillbrook. You've been listening to Remarks and Reflections, a podcast of Hillbrook School. Be sure to subscribe to this podcast. You can also find the Remarks and Reflections blog post at hillbrook.us. another space where we are looking to connect with and engage members of our community in conversations important to our school, education, and parenting. And as always, you can find our school on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and of course, our website at hillbrook.org. Thanks for listening. Have a great week and be your best.